Today's shir is Masechta Chayrus Daf Dalad. We will begin on Daf Gimel Mevez at the bottom of the Yomar at the Mishnah. A word of introduction. We're going to be learning in our Sugyas and Mitzvah Shem and the Kamen Dafin that in the Midbar, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduced through Moshe Rabbeinu the concept of Pidyon HaBen, that the Bechayrim had to be redeemed, the way they were redeemed, most of the Bechayrim, as we now will describe, were not redeemed the way we're accustomed to understanding a Pidyon HaBen takes place. We know that a Pidyon HaBen takes place that the person who needs to be redeemed, his father, gives Chamesh Sloim, 5 coins to the Kohen. In the Midbar, what they did was, they had the Levim, and they had the Bechayrim, and they designated that the Levim should have the ability, a Levi is in the place of a Kohen. And therefore, what we had was really 3 groups of people. The count of Bechayrim versus Levim was pretty close. There were about 22,300 Levim, and there were 22,300 approximately Kohanim, Bechayrim. However, from those Levim, 300 of them were Bechayrim themselves. So they had to redeem themselves. They couldn't be used to redeem the Bechayrim. So what happened is those 300 Levim redeemed themselves as Bechayrim. The majority, as I just said, the 22,000 Levim were corresponding to 22,000 Bechayrim. And then there were about 300 Bechayrim approximately who were left over. And through a Goyal, they were identified. And they had to actually give Chamesh Sloim. It's important to point out, the Chazanish makes this point, we keep on speaking about the Levim, and the Torah speaks about the Levim, what about the Kohanim? Aren't they from the same Shevet? So Chazanish says, at that point, when this all took place, there were only 3 Kohanim in the world, Aaron, Elazar, and Isamar. So we couldn't really rely on Kohanim to do the Pidyon. There weren't that many Kohanim yet, because the children that were born already weren't Kohanim, and the other children weren't born or were just very little. Interesting also to point out that I saw from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that we know that the Gemara says, and Rashi quotes the Gemara, that in Mitzrayim there was a very interesting, there was Shishin Bekeres Echad, that when a woman had children, she had 6 children at a time. And he actually uses the concept that we just mentioned, the episode that we just mentioned, as a raya to that. Because he says, if you think about it, we know there were 600,000 men that left Mitzrayim. Yet we just said that there were only about 22,000 Bechayrim. Statistically, there are usually about 10% Bechayrim. 22,000 is not 10% of 600,000. But because, as we know, says Rabbi Yaakov, they were null to Shisha Bekeres Echad. So the regular patterns of childbirth and how many children a woman had and how, and et cetera, weren't in place in Mitzrayim. That's why the usual percentages weren't there. So our Mishnah begins. Kohanim Levim Peturim. Kohanim Levim are potter from Petach Hamor, because we make the following Kal V'Chaim, which the Gemara will work with significantly. In Patras Yisrael B'Midbar, if we see that, as we just described, that the Levim had the ability to redeem the Bechayrim by their just being there, and the Midbar, Divnu Shiftu Shalatzmam, they should have certainly the ability to pater themselves from Petach Hamor. Very big Machloikus Rashi in Taisus. We know, and the Gemara is going to mention this very soon, that Levim, Kohanim, don't have a din of Pidyon HaBen. Levim, Kohanim, don't have a din of Petach Hamor. But Levim, Kohanim, do have a din of a Bechor Behema. That means if a Levi or a Kohen owns an animal, a kosher animal, and it has a Bechor, the din of Bechor, which is actually, as we keep on saying, the main subject of our Masechta, does apply. The question is, what was in the Midbar? Rashi seems to learn that in the Midbar was the same as it is afterwards. Taisus seems to learn in the Midbar, Levim were exempt from the halacha of Bukhar Behema Tahira also. But before we go into the shir, there's a fundamental question that the Achronim discuss. We unfortunately know that Bizman Azen, nowadays, the entire concept of Yichus is really not very firm. We're not really 100% certain about the Yichus and who is who. And therefore the question comes up, when you have an individual who thinks he's a Kohen, who thinks he's a Levi, why shouldn't he be paid to himself as a suffix that he may be a Kohen or a Levi? They may be Yisrael. And actually the question goes the other way as well. Why, if Yisrael is paid to himself by a Kohen, why should he not always be concerned that maybe that individual wasn't a real Kohen and he has the obligation to be paid to himself again? It's actually well known that the Gra, every time he met a Kohen, he would be paid to himself again because he wasn't quite sure if he ever had a proper pidgin. But that isn't the Minig Olam. So one approach that the Paiskim take is that by pidgin aben, and this will become clearer in the sugyas that we learn, it's considered a financial obligation. And there's a rule, ha-motzim chavera olav haraya. And therefore, if the Kohen believes that he's a Kohen or a Levi, until it could be proven otherwise, ha-motzim chavera olav haraya. But that approach doesn't work on two counts. First of all, that only speaks to the person who is a Kohen or is a Levi and doesn't want to be paid himself. But that doesn't say that the person who knows or thinks he's a Yisrael gives it to a Kohen or gives it to a Levi. How does he know that he gives it to a Kohen? How does he know that he really gave it to a proper Kohen? So, furthermore, as we're learning now, the halach is a petach amar is not just a financial issue. The chamar has that kedusha until you do the pidgin. And if we're saying that a Kohen or Levi who owns a petach amar doesn't have a chiyuv, how do we know indeed that we could rely on the fact that he knows because he has some sort of a tradition in his family that he's a Kohen or a Levi and not do pidgin petach amar? So some place can take the approach. If we're going to take this approach and tell this person, well, we're not sure you're a Kohen, there are serious repercussions. One is, he may go to Levaya. He may expose himself to Mace. I'm not a Kohen, you see. I had to be paid to myself. He may marry a woman that a Kohen is not allowed to marry. Which, again, is sort of a weak approach. First of all, it doesn't speak to Levim. Number two, just because we have that concern, should he not do what he's obligated to do because maybe he'll go to Levaya and marry somebody he's not supposed to marry? So the Pais can take the approach. The approach that most Pais can take is that is the power of Chazakah. That Chazakah, if we have a Chazakah that this person's a Kohen, we go with that Chazakah all the way. If you have a Chazakah, he's a Levi, we can rely on that Chazakah all the way. L'kula l'chum. Although, I did see an interesting tshuva from Yitzchak Zilberstein. He speaks about the following. He speaks to the following situation. We're going to learn in our shir that the halach is that not only is a Kohen or a Levi son not obligated in a pidyon aben, but if one's mother, that means if someone's mother is the daughter of a Levi or the daughter of a Kohen, he also doesn't have a chiv the pidyon aben. We'll discuss this very soon in Mitzvah Shem. And there was a person who was a Yisrael and had a firstborn son. He obviously wasn't a very learned person. He didn't know this halacha. So he knew he was a Yisrael and prepared a big pidyon aben and had many guests, etc. And the Kohen, he invited a Kohen to come do the pidyon aben. And the Kohen, as he came, started talking and he discovered that this person's wife, the mother of the baby, was a bas levi. And the person says to him, I can't be embarrassed that we shouldn't go through with this procedure. I have this whole party here, and I have all these guests here. We're going to send them home. It'll be horrible embarrassment to me. And the Kohen says, there's no din pidyon aben. We can't do a pidyon aben here. So Rav Zik, and again, I say this lahalacha, not lamaisa. We should never have such a maisa. You should know the halacha. But Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein paskins in that tshuva that given the discussion that we just had, that we're really not sure who is a Kohen and who is a Levi. They could go through the pidyon aben procedure. Of course, they can't make a bracha of shema malchus because that's a shail of a bracha of atala. But they could go through the procedure because there may be an obligation anyway. So the Gemara begins. The Mishnah seems to be saying that because the Levim had the ability to redeem the Bechayrim, that's why they're not Mechuyiv in Petach Amar. Ask the Gemara, any Patri Adam, they took away the Chiyiv, they took away the pigeon from other people. Adam Pata, Adam Pata and Behemah, Behemah Patra, how does it come that because they took that away, it takes away the Chiyiv from Behemoths? Says Mordek Siv, Kach, as Levim Tachs Bechob of Bnei Yisrael, as Behemoths Levim Tachs Behemtom. So Mar's question is, that it seems from our Mishnah, that it was the Levim that took away the Kedusha from the Petach Hamor in the Midbar, which isn't true. It was the animals of the Levim that took away that Kedusha. So how do we understand our Mishnah? On Mabai, this is what I understand. Hachkama. Kahan Levim Peturim Behemtom Bekavachoymer. You know why Kahanim Levim animals don't have a chiv of Petach Amor? Because the Bais says, our Mishnah says, we make the following Kavachayma. If we find in the Midbar that the behemoth of the Levim patterned the Kedusha from the Petri Hamor of the Yisraelim, dinu shifkiyus atzvam. Then that's certainly, they shouldn't have an obligation of Petach Hamor themselves. Says the Gemara, but that isn't what the Mishnah said. So the way Abai is interpreting our Mishnah is because the Levim's animals had the ability to take away the Kedusha of the Petach Hamor from the animals of the Yisraelim, that's why certainly their animals themselves should not have that obligation. But our Mishnah doesn't say that, says Rava Tabaya. Amalei Rava, for Pitru Inuktani, our Mishnah is introducing the fact that the Levim took away the Kedusha from the Bechayrim. The way Abai is explaining our Mishnah is because the Levim's animals have this ability, certainly their own animals. But our Mishnah isn't speaking about the Levim's animals. The Mishnah is speaking about the Levim themselves. Vay, that's one question. Vay, im Isa, afilu b'char b'heim niftru. If this is the way to understand the Mishnah, that the way to understand the Mishnah is that they took away the Kedusha, and that's why they have the ability to take away everything. They should also not have a chiyah because they're so strong. Then there should be no din of b'char behemah tahira by a Levi. But as we said earlier, and we're going to learn it in a Mishnah very soon, Allah matanah lo niftam b'char behemah tahira. That a kohen or Levi who has a behemah tahira, the din of b'char behemah tahira applies to him. If we're saying that Levim, because their animals had this ability, it spreads to what they own, it should spread to Behemoth Tahira as well. Yet we know that Levim and Kahanim are obligated in Bechor Behemoth Tahira. Lo niftar Bechor Behemoth Tahira, elam pinyan ben or petach hamor. The only thing they're excluded from is pinyan ben and petach hamor, but not Bechor Behemoth Tahira. Elam Rava, says Rava, the way to understand the Mishnah is like this. Hakhtani. Kahanim Levim, patru hein atzman. Kahanim Levim, turim hein atzman, don't have a din or Bechor, because we make the following Kavachayma. Im hifki kedushasin shalvim, kedusha shal Yisrael b'midbar, is as we described in the Mishnah, the way the Bechorim, 22,000 of the Bechorim in the Midbar, were redeemed, was because we put Levim in their place. So if the Levim could be paida the Bechorim, they certainly have the ability to take off their own Kedusha as well. So what we have here is, all we have so far, Rav is learning it in two steps. This is how we understand that they have the ability to take off their own Kedusha. How do they have the ability to take off their own Kedusha? How do we know there's no din of Bechor by a Levi? Because if a Levi could be paid to another Kayin, another Bechor, he could certainly be paid to himself. Ashkechan Adam. But ask the Gemara, that only showed us why the din of Bechor Adam doesn't apply by Kohen and Levi. But how do we know that the din of Petach Hamor also doesn't apply by a Levi? Behemah Tamei Menolam. How do we know that that din doesn't apply by a Levi as well? To that, says Rav, there's a second step. Amakra, Ach Padatifta, Es Bechor Adam, Ves Bechor Behemah. So the Gemara is saying, this pasuk connects the halacha of b'chayra, b'char adam to petach hamor. Skosh yeshtem b'char adam. Wherever there's a din of b'char adam, yeshtem b'char behemet tmei, there's a din of petach hamor. V'kosh enim b'char adam, enim b'char behemet tmei. Where there is no din of b'char adam, there is no din of petach hamor either. So the way, just to review, we have two ways of understanding our Mishnah. Abaye's approach is that we learn the following Kav Chaymer, that if the Levium animals had the ability to take away the Kedusha from the Petach Hamor of the Israelim, it's certainly they don't have their own obligation of Petach Hamor. The Gemara asked a number of questions. Rav's approach is that we have a two-stepped approach, that the Levium aren't obligated in Bechor Adam. We know, because if they had the ability to redeem the Bechorim of the Israelim, they certainly ought not to be obligated in the din of Bechor Adam. And then the Gemara quotes a pasuk that smakish the halacha petach hamor to Bechor Adam, and whoever doesn't have the obligation of Bechor Adam similarly doesn't have a chiv of petach hamor. The Levim are excluded from Bechor Adam, so they're excluded from petach hamor as well. So there's an interesting tshuva from the Rashba, which the Achronim work with. The Gemara Masechta Kedushin teaches us that a mother is not obligated in Pidyon HaBen. That means, Rachman al-Tzlan, somebody has a Bechor, and that Bechor doesn't have a father, so he has to redeem himself. But he doesn't have, his mother has no obligation to redeem him. A father has the obligation to redeem his son. Why? So Gemara explains, because since the Din of Pidyon HaBen doesn't apply by women, there's no Din of Pidyon HaBen on a Bechayra, so whoever is not in the parasha of Pidyon HaBen doesn't have the obligation to redeem someone else. So ask the Rashba, if that's the case, so then what, and our Gemara Rava just taught us, the Petach Hamor and Pidyon HaBen travel together, so what would be the halacha if a woman owns a Petach Hamor? Not a Leviya, a regular woman. Is she Mechuyiv in Petach Hamor if it travels together with Pidyon HaBen? So Rashba says, of course, that she is. But how do we understand it? The question is a great question. Our Mishnah just connected the two rules. So I saw two explanations in the Achronim how to understand why, if a woman owns a Petach Hamor, she still has the Chiyuv. One explanation is, when we speak about a Pidyon HaBen, somebody who only has a mother, so there's a difference between the Pidyon HaBen here. The Ben has the Kedusha of a Bechor. The Chamor has the Kedusha of a Chamor. A woman may not be obligated to redeem it, but that doesn't take away the Kedusha. We still have a Chamor with that Kedusha, and therefore that Chamor will have to be Nifta. That's one approach. Another approach that the Achronim explained in the Rashba is as follows. When we say that a woman is not obligated to be Paida her son, what does that mean? That means that the Torah gives us a list who has to be Paida. The father comes first. If the father isn't there, then the son has to do it. There's a list of who has responsibility. The mother is not on that list. But that doesn't mean there's exclusion from the Chiv. By Levi, there's an exclusion from the Chiv. Here there's no exclusion from the Chiv. There's just, she's not under obligation that she has to take care of someone else. And therefore we can't compare the halacha of a woman owning a Petach Hamor to a Levi or a Kohen owning a Petach Hamor. Ask the Gemara, Amalei, Rav Safa Labaya, ask Rav Safa Labaya, Lididoch, Damrit, Behemtom, Ben Levi, the Havleis, that you're saying, the way we understand that Levium aren't Mechuyiv and Petach Hamor, is because, as our Gemara said on top of the Amid, since the animals of the Levium, the set owned by the Levim, had the ability to take away the Kedusha of the Petach Hamor owned by the Israelim, it certainly should take away their own Kedusha. So if that's the case, the Havle said the Afka Lifka. The Loi Havle said the Lifka Loi Lifka. Not every Levi, this is what Rosh and the Chazanish explained the Gemara's question. Not every Levi in the Midbar had a set that his animal should be the animal that redeems the Petach Hamor of Israel. So as the Mefarshim explain, Abaye is saying, that the ability for Levim and all generations that they shouldn't be mechuyev and petach hamor is because they were in the position that they took away the kedusha of the petach hamor of the Israelim in the midbar. So who should have that ability? Only the Levi who taka practiced that in the midbar, and only the Levi who experienced that his animal was part of the petach hamor of Yisrael should have that ability. That his future generations, his children, his grandchildren, for all generations should have that ability. But if he didn't experience it himself, so that din, that concept didn't apply to this family. And if it didn't apply to that family, the Levi who comes from generations later should have a chiv, a petach hamor. Amishnah doesn't say that. Amishnah says that all of them are excluded from petach hamor. Let's read the words of the Gemara again. Amalei Rasaf Labaya. Lididach, following your line of reasoning, the matter behemtam, it was the animals of the Ben Levi, because they were part of the Pitri Hamor of the Yisraelim, that's why the Levim are exempt in all generations. So if so, the Havli said the Efka, the Levi that owned the sand, the Midbar, Lifka, so his future generations should have the ability to be excluded from Petach Hamor. However, the Loi Havli said, that Levi who himself didn't have a say, the Lifka, that he experienced that he was paid of Petach Hamor, Lo Lifka. That's one question. Another question by Rasafra poses is Ben Idach Ben Lerova. Ben Chaydish to Ifka Lifka. The halacha is, we spoke earlier, I said at the beginning of the shir, that the Levium were in the place of the Bechayrim. They took a census, and they counted Levium, and they counted Bechayrim. But when they started counting Levium, how old were the Levium that they counted? They had to be a month old. Any Levi who was less than a month out of that census wasn't put next to a Bechor. So Abaye and Rava both agree in our Mishnah that because the Levium redeemed the Bechorim, that gives them a certain position. But that isn't true. Not every Levi. Maybe this Levi's great-great-grandfather in the Midbar was less than a month old, and therefore he didn't redeem a Bechor, so that power shouldn't remain in the family. Ben Ledach Ben Lerava, Ben Chaydish Ifka Lifka, Pachs Ben Chaydish, again, so he never experienced the ability to take away the Kedusha from Yisrael, the Layifka, so he didn't redeem a Bechor, Layifka, he shouldn't have that ability. And another question, we said earlier in our Shir, that if one's mother is Levia, then he's not Mechuyev Pinyan Ben. But if we're learning, asked the Gemara, then why is a Levi exempt for Pinyan HaBen? Only because his great-great-grandfather Midbar took away the Kedusha from another Levi, but that isn't by a Leviya, that's only by a Levi. So why is the halacha a Leviya Leitifka? If somebody's mother is a Leviya, he's still not Mechuyev and Pinyan HaBen. Alam Omer of Adabar Hava, Leviya Shiyol de Benah, Potter Mechamay Slaim. Why? Why is he Potter? He shouldn't be Potter, because he's not a descendant of somebody who experienced redemption. So says the word, the last question is not a question. Lakasha, Kudmah Barev Devi Reus, Mishmei the Rava, Dama, Petarechem, the Petarechem, Ketala Rachmana. The Torah says it depends on the Petarechem. And if this person's mother is Leviya, she's not Mechuy of Pinyan HaBen. There's a number of ways of understanding that the Rishonim and Achronim give an understanding why if somebody's mother is a Leviya, he's not Mechuyev in Pinyan HaBen. One is because it depends on the Rechem. You know, the Torah keeps on using, when we speak about Bechor, Adam, the words Peter Rechem. So we see that the Rechem is a very important part of this decision, is there a Chiyev Pinyan HaBen or not? And this is the Rechem of a Leviya. It's the womb of a Leviya, and that's why he's Potter. That's one way of learning. Another way of learning is that we're used to always believing that when we speak about Yichus, we only look at the father, not at the mother. But that isn't accurate. We look at the mother as well. And since this mother is a Leviya, that's why this child is Potter. And then there's a third very nice approach that the Avni Nezer suggests. The Avni Nezer says that when we speak about Yichus, and as we just said a moment ago, Yichus goes after your father and after your mother, that's only after you're born. But until the child is born, the yichus is dependent on the mother. So now it's very geschmack. The child is just being born. So his yichus is not connected yet to his father. It's connected to his mother. And if his mother is a Leviya, he's part of a pinyan haben. And then asked the Gemara another question. V'aaron, shlohoye vayis minyan. As the Gemara is about to prove, Aaron wasn't part of the census of the Leviyim. So the halacha is, if we're saying that the entire ability of Kahanim and Leviyim to be part of Petach Hamor is only because they were part of this census, and they were part of this experience of being Paida, Bechayrim, and Pitri Hamor in the Midbar, Aaron wasn't part of the census. The Tanya, if we look in the Chumash, a very interesting phenomena, if we look in the Chumash, the Torah when it says, over the word Aaron, that there are dots. Not crowns, but dots. And as Mefarshim explained, when the Torah on top of its letters puts crowns, puts tagin, those tagin mean to expand. On the other hand, when the Torah puts dots, it means to limit. Why, when the word Aaron is written in the Chumash, are there dots on top of his name? He wasn't part of that minion. Why wasn't he part of that minion? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is when were they counted? They were counted after the Cheta Egel, after the Magefa, after the terrible decree after the Cheta Egel. And since Aaron was a party to the Cheta Egel, so they kept them separate. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw from Rabbi Tzadik is that why indeed were the Leviim not counted together with all the rest of Klal Yisrael? Because there were different categories of people in Klal Yisrael. The Yisraelim, and they're Leviim. And to show that they represent different categories, they're not counted together. So just like the Leviim represent a higher Madrega than the Yisraelim, Aaron represents a higher Madrega than the rest of the Leviim, and he isn't counted together with them either. Interesting also point, we know that Yisraelim were counted from the age 20 to the age 60. Only those men were in the census. Leviim, clearly, as we said, the Pasuk says explicitly, were counted from Ben Chodesh, a month old. Till when were they counted? They say they were counted when they were over 60. Because Aaron at this time was over 60 years old. So if Leviim were only counted until they're 60, so then what do I need a Pasuk to tell us that they were counted. Of course they weren't counted. If Aaron wasn't counted, he was too old. So we see there was no age limit on counting Leviim. But the question again is, if the Torah is based on being part of the redemption process, Aaron wasn't part of the redemption process. Says the Gemara, Amakra, Halaviyim. The Torah says the words Halaviyim, Huksha Kalaviyim Zalazah. All Leviim are treated the same. And therefore, even though we have a Levi that maybe didn't have a seh, or maybe we have a Levi that wasn't a month old, doesn't make a difference. Ask them, so we've explained why all Leviim, even if they weren't part of that experience, don't have the dinner Petach Hamor. But what about Kohanim and Olam? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Shu ben Levi. Don't Rabbi Shu ben Levi. Be'esim v'avim mekoymus, 24 places in the Torah, Nikru Kohanim Leviim. Kohanim and Leviim are called the same. When the Torah says the word Levi, means coin as well. The Zechman, and this apostle in Yecheskel, the Kahanim Halavim Bnei Tzadik. Now Tzadik was a coin, yet the Torah calls his descendants Halavim. So Mefarshim ask, here the Gemara says that's mentioned 24 times. And from all 24 times, why do we find the Pasuk, why does the Gemara choose the Pasuk in Yecheskel to be the Pasuk to show us the Kahanim, the Levim are called Kahanim? Mefarshim say, because if you look in that parasha in Yecheskel, it speaks about that everybody was worshipping Avodah Zarah and the Kohanim and Leviim weren't. And the Pasuk is teaching us, you know what makes the Kohanim and the Leviim so special? The fact that they know not to worship Avodah Zarah. There's an interesting Rambam, which is based on this Gemara. We all remember the Chumash Parshas, Nosai Parshas Ba'aloyschai, where the Torah gives assignments to the families of Levi and what they should carry in the Mishkan. So the Rambam paskins that if our Gemara says that when the Torah says Levi, it means Kohanim as well, Kohanim could carry the Oren. Even though it's an assignment to the Levim, Kohanim and Levim are the same, says the Rambam. The Ramban argues. He says, how could you take and say something that the Torah doesn't say? If the Torah gave the assignment to specific families, you can't just change those assignments. But then I saw a very interesting minig custom quoted by the Tamei HaMenhagim. He says, one thing we do see, that in the Midbar, certainly who carried the Aron? It was Leviim, the Rambam says, maybe Kahanim, but not Yisraelim. That there's a point that to give Hoitzov Achnosa, to carry the Sefer Torah to a Kohen or a Levi, to remember what happened when they carried the Aron. So we've proven that the Kahanim and the Leviim in the Midbar are potter from Petach Hamor. Ask the Gemara Medarius Ben Olam, how do we know that that is the halacha in all future generations as well? Answers the Gemara Amakra, Fahoyu Liya Leviim, Fahoyu Bav Yosin Yehei. That halacha remains forever. Continues the Gemara, Ma'ay de Baseh. How do we know that it was done with a Seh? Where do we know that the Seh is the thing? The Gemara said on Amin Aleph that it was clearly, this way Rashi explains the Gemara's question, that it was the Levi who had a Seh, who had the ability to redeem the Petach Hamor of Yisrael, who says they needed to use a Seh in the Midbar? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Nama Kesef Ladiris. It's clear that the Torah teaches us that how do we do a Pidyon HaBen? With Kesef, with Chomis Slayim. The Nama Seh Ladiris. And it's clear that the Seh that's used, that when we do Petach Hamor, Pidyon Petach Hamor, we use a Seh. Ma Kesef Amar Ladiris, Boy Pod Ladiris. That was used, that's what should be used in all generations. And by Padu, Loisa Shah. And the Torah says that Vlakachta, Chamesh Shkolim Lagagoylis, that in the Midbar they also used Chamesh Shloim. But it's interesting to point out that even though the Gemara here says the Brisker Rav, is comparing the Pinyan HaBen that took place in the Midbar to the Pinyan HaBen that takes place in all generations, it's not the exact same. He says, based on an Evan Ezra, what the Pidyon HaBen accomplished in the Midbar and what the Pidyon HaBen accomplishes in all generations is very different. The Pidyon HaBen in the Midbar, says the Brisker Rav, was, as we're going to soon see in the Gemara, until the Chet HaEgel, the Avoda was done by the Bechayrim. And at that point, it went away from the Bechayrim and went to the Kohanim. In future generations, the point is that a Bechor is born with a certain Kedusha, and that Kedusha is removed through the Pidyon HaBen. So says the Gemara, Ma Kesef HaOmer L'Doyrus, just like the Kesef of a Pidyon HaBen, Boy Pod L'Doyrus, that's how you Poyda, in all generations of Pidyon HaBen, Boy Pod L'Doyrus, so too is what's done in the mid, that was what was used in the Midbar, Afsel HaOmer L'Doyrus, Boy Pod L'Doyrus, Boy Pod L'Doyrus. The same, just like a Seh, the Torah teaches us clearly, is what we use the, for Pidyon Petach Hamor. That was, must be what was used in the Midbar. It says the Gemara, the analogy is weak. Ma'ala Kesef, she came pointed by Hedashus and Maisa Sheni. Kesef is very strong. You could use Kesef to reply to something that's Hegdish, to reply to Maisa Sheni. And that's why, perhaps, it was also used in the Midbar for Pidyon HaBen. But a Seh is much weaker. Maybe Seh is only used for future generations, but not in the Midbar. And even though, as the Mefarshim explained, you can use a set to be paid the Hegdish, and you can use a set to be paid the Maaseh Sheni, because the Halacha, as the Gemara teaches us at the beginning of Masechta Kedushin, is Shove Kesef Kekesef. But that's not because it's a set. It's only because it's a Shove Kesef. But where do we see, but the set that doesn't have that strength, that it's not used in all future generations, maybe it can't be used, maybe it wasn't used in the Midbar either. Ela Makra, Ach Padr Tifta Esbecha Adam Esbecha Behemat Meya Tifta Ma Becha Adam. So the Torah again is Makish Petach Hamor to Pidyon HaBen Ma Becha Adam Loi Chalakta Bebeilon Doris Beilon Shisha. We say that it was done the same fashion in the Midbar with Chomish Shloim and all future generations with Chomish Shloim Ach Behemat Meya. So too when it comes to do Pidyon Petach Hamor Loi Tachal Bebeilon Doris Beilon Shisha, it's always done Baseh. Says the Gemara, Amr Rav Chanina, Seh Echot Sheben Levi, a Levi could own one Seh in the Midbar, and that one Seh, Potter Kama Pitri Chamorim Yisrael, can be used over and over again to be Poyda Petach Hamor from Yisrael. Amr Abaya, and Abaya says, Teda, I prove that Rav Chanina is right. Shemana Kos Oitzim Ba'odam. As I said earlier in the Shir, the beginning of the Shir, when we speak about the Bechairi Odom versus the Levium, we made a count, and we saw there was a discrepancy, and there are too many Bechayrim. Dulamana Aitrim Behema. Why not? Because by a person, you only get one chance. So if the numbers don't match, we have to deal with it. By animals, it doesn't bother me, because we can keep on using over the same animal. Says Ramai, who says that's the reason? Dama, like having official behemoths. You know why they didn't have to worry about having too many pitri chamor versus seh? Because there weren't so many pitri chamor. Says Ramai, sakadat, if that doesn't make sense. The Ksibah, because the Pasuk says, Umikne Rav Hayul Ibn Roven Ibn God, they had many animals. Says the Gemara, fine, they had many animals. Duma feel achip shoot them the Levim have a kaimelik bad b'chayr Yisrael. The Levim Baruch Hashem had a lot. The Yisrael had a lot of animals, but we're only focused here on the pitri chamor. And when we speak about the pitri chamor, there were enough seh amongst the Levim to take care of all the pitri chamor of the Yisrael. Amakra says the Gemara. The pasuk says. So how do we know that Rav Chanina says that the Levi in the Midbar can keep on reusing his animal? Says the Gemara Amakra, it's based on the following pasuk. The pasuk says, "Bas behemis alavim tachas behemtom." So what do we see in this pasuk? Behema achas, behemas, one animal, tachas behema arba, can be used to take care of many animals. Ask the Gemara, just because the Torah used the word behemis alavim, doesn't mean it's only one animal. Behema, behema rabba. Just like the pasuk uses the word behema, but it means many animals, so too, here where the Torah says the word behemis halavim, it means many animals. Answers the Gemara, you're correct. The Torah could use the word behemas and mean many animals. But let's look at this pasuk, says the Gemara. In kein licht of kra, oi behema tachas behema, oi behema tachas behemtam. In this pasuk, the Torah changes the worded. First it says behemas, behemas, and then it says behemtam. Why here does it say Lashon Yochid? There it say Lashon Rabim. My behemtom, behemas, tachs behemtom. Here it says Lashon Yochid, here it says Lashon Rabim. Shmami no, chad patatuva. One animal of the Levi had the ability to patter many animals of the many pitri chamor. Omer Rava, says Rava, afanan namitanina. Actually, this is something that we're going to learn in the Mishnah. Upaida by Pam Harbei. The Mishnah says you could keep on reusing the seh to be paid the chamor. Ask the Gemara, Rav Chanina, tamed the masnis mefarish. Says the Gemara, Rav Chanina is actually coming to say, vach kama, my tama paid by harbe. Why is the halacha that we're going to learn later in the Mishnah that you could keep on reusing the same animal to pet the chamor? Because we find from the seechet sheben Levi pata kama pitri chamorim shel Yisrael. So the Mefarshim ask an obvious question. What does the Mishnah speak about there that says you can reuse the same animal for Petach Amar? The Mishnah speaks to a certain situation. You have a Petach Amar, I'm a Levi, I have a Seh. So we could take the Seh and give, and I have a Petach Amar, you have a Seh, and we put the Seh in place of the Petach Amar. Once, and we give the Seh to the Kohen. The Kohen goes and sells me back that Seh. So that episode is over. Here it wasn't that way. They kept on reusing the same seh. So how do we compare this case to that case? So I saw two answers. Tosfos answers, it's not always that way that the kohen gets the seh and then maybe sells it back. The halacha is if you have a suffix, we're going to speak about this soon, you can keep on reusing the seh even though you never give it to the kohen. So you see that the same seh can be reused. That's how Tosfos learns. Other freshmen learn that there's two separate rules. There's one rule that you have to be part of the seh. There's another rule that seh should be delivered to the Kohen. But those two rules don't necessarily travel together. And the fact that we see that the same seh can be reused, why? Says Rav Chanina, because that's the way it was in the Midbar. Says the Gemara. Itmar. Rav Yochanan Kutch Becharis with Midbar. Rav Yochanan says that the Becharis that were born in the Midbar had Kedushas Bechar. Rish Lakish Amar like Kutch Becharis with Midbar. Rish Lakish says they were not. Rav Yochanan Kutch Becharis with Midbar. The Bechairis in the Midbar were Kaddish. The Chmaram Likachu. The Torah says they should have Kedushas Bechar. Tiriksev, as the Pasuk says, Kaddish Lika Bechar. Rish Lakish Omar, Lekachu Bechairis in Midbar. They did not have Kedushas Bechar. Midiksev, Vahari Kiviyacha. The Torah says when you arrive in Etz Yisrael, the Ksiv Asrei, and only afterward does it say Vavarta, that the din of Bechairah kicks in. Mechlau, the Mikar LeKadosh, that until then, they don't have Kedushas Bechor. Ask the Gemara, Eser Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, ask Rabbi Yochanan to you Reish Lakish that say, that the Bechorim in the Midbar did not have Kedushas Bechor. It says in a Braisa, Achloi Hukam HaMishkan, until the Mishkan was erected, Hayabamas Mataris, the Bamas was standing, Vavoy the Bechoris, so we see that the Bechoris didn't have Kedusha. Because if they didn't have Kedusha, why were they doing the Avodah? Answers the Gemara, Amalei Ba'oisin Shiyotzim Mitzrayim. So the way the Gemara is explaining now is very interesting. According to Reish Lakish, there were three stages. The Bechayrim of Mitzrayim had Kedushas Bechar. The Bechayrim of the Midbar did not have Kedushas Bechar. And then the Bechayrim that came to Tetzisrael, the Bechayrim of Tetzisrael, do have Kedushas Bechar. Just the Bechayrim of the Midbar didn't. In fact, the Mefarshim asked an obvious question. If the Kohanim were not designated until the Chet HaEgel, as we'll see and we know, so, and we're saying that the Bechayrim of Mitzrayim, everybody agrees, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree, had Kedushas Bechar, so what did you do if you had a Bechar in Mitzrayim? What did you do with that money? Who did you give it to? There's no concept of a Kohen yet. So I saw three different explanations. One explanation was that it went to Hegdash. Another explanation is it was put on the side that they knew they're going to have to do something with the money. They just didn't know yet what until they got instructions when the Kohanim were ultimately designated. And the third shot is a Bechar, as we said earlier, it depends on the mother. Petarechem. But the Bechorim, who are Bechorim not just from the mothers, but Bechorim from the fathers as well, were the ones that received the money of the Bechorim of their mother. And says the Gemara, Hachinam Mistabra. And that makes sense, that this is the way it was. That the Bechorim from Mitzrayim, even Reish Lakish agrees, had Kedush Bechor, the Leitema Hachi, Ben Shana Bar Me'evet Avoidahu. The Mishkan was put up a year after they got into the Midbar. So as Mefarshim explained, there wasn't a problem, maybe of a cotton doing an Avoida. Of a cotton doing an Avoida. But he has to be not an infant. So who did the Avoida? Says the Gemara, or the Karlei my Karlei. You know, if you think about it, it's obvious that they had Kedushas Bechor. Says Marachi Kokashle. This is the way to understand the Gemara. Iyam Bishlam Deloi Posik Kedushas Ayu. If we say that the Bechor began in Mitzrayim, as Rabbi Yochanan said, and remained forever, so that's why the Bechorim from Mitzrayim remained Kadosh, and they did the Avodah in the Midbar. Eli Amr the Pasuk, the Kedushas Ayu. If you, Reish Lakish, are correct, says Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, and that the Bechorim that were born in the Midbar don't have Kedushas Bechor, Hanach Mikar Nami, Lepak Le Kedushas Ayu. So then the Bechorim that were born in Mitzrayim also lose the Kedusha. And as Mefarshim say, what makes them lose the Kedusha? Their arrival in the Midbar. So who did the Avodah? And Reish Lakish responds, the Kadosh, Kadosh. I agree that the Bechorim from Mitzrayim had Kedusha. The Loi Kadosh, but the Bechorim that were born in the Midbar, Loi Kadosh, did not have Kedusha's Bechorim. Eisvei, ask the Gemara another question. It says in the Braisa, Oysa Yom Shokum HaMishkan, the day that the Mishkan was erected, Kavalam B'Yisrael, that's the day that Klais were brought the Dharam with the Davos, Chattas V'Hashamas, Bechairus U'Maisris. So we see that there were Bechairim doing the Avoida. Who did that Avoida? Answers the Gemara, Hachanam B'Oysin Shot Mitzrayim. Here too, Reish Lakish agrees that those that were born in Mitzrayim had Kedusha. Umino, and from, on the contrary, says Reish Lakish, this price is my approved to me. Also Yom Hudakarev. The Bechayrim had that din, that they have the Kedushas Bechayrim to do the Avoida, only until the day the Mishkan was erected. Kan ve'erech, like Karev. Ikadamri, others say that this price is used for Reish Lakish to challenge Rabbi Yochanan. Ikadamri, es Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. It says in the Braisa, Oysi Yom, Shokum HaMishkan, the day that the Mishkan was erected, commonly we saw in the Dharma, the Davos Chatzis, Vashem Bechayrus and Maisris. So it seems Oysi Yom in, V'kan V'elech Loi, but according to you, it always that way. Answers, Ayma, Ma'oysi Yom V'elech. Not just that day, but from ever from that day. Or Mike Mashmalon, And what's he teaching us? Ma'oisa yoim in. Only on that day did they begin bringing these kabanas. Mikaroloi. Why? Because Alma, chayvus bebama like karev, they weren't allowed to bring chayvus in the bama, and that's why all of these kabanas that are chayvus could not have been brought until that very day.